This is Beyond Zero. I'm Dr. David Meyer. In this episode today, episode number 107, we're going to do a quick recap on my latest episode, episode 106 with Brett Wushner, as he talked to me about his trek towards running the Leadville 100 Ultra Marathon coming up this August. And he actually this weekend just ran his first official 50-mile ultra out in Arizona at Antelope Canyon. Just saw the photos today. It was absolutely beautiful. I recommend everybody go back and check that episode out. And I also want to tease ahead to the next episode. Episode 106, as I was talking about, I had the opportunity to bring on not actually my first ultra marathoner, because technically I've gone on a few podcasts that focus on the running niche, where I've shared my book, Injured to Elite, how some of the work I've done pertains to runners. And one of those episodes was with Zach Bitters. And I'm forgetting the other one that I did, but they're both ultra marathon podcasts. Zach Bitters, actually, I think he holds the record for the fastest time on a treadmill during the pandemic for an ultra. I think it was 100 miles on the treadmill. So it wasn't my first stab in the conversation around mental performance as that pertains to running insane, crazy amounts, as I like to say. Actually, my last guest, Brett, just ran this past weekend in Arizona at Antelope Canyon in the desert. Beautiful views. He showed me hiking through these little slots inside these canyons with a gorgeous, gorgeous view while hiking through it with the group that he decided to go out there with, who he actually never met, which I thought was really cool that he got to meet these people he's been messaging with through an app to prepare for mainly Leadville 100, which is a 100-mile race. Every time I say that, I can't believe I'm saying that, because 100 miles of a drive is enough, let alone thinking of the idea of doing this 24-hour-plus marathon, which to me is still insane. And that's why I wanted Brett to come on. We got into the psychology of what would drive a human being to do something so insane. For Brett, we talked a lot about how his struggles as a youth athlete with his stomach issues that he had persist throughout his hockey career in high school and even into college, how that motivated him now to develop this sense of control, which I thought was really interesting. And the thing that resonates with me the most, one of the fun things about doing a post-episode recap like this, is I get to think about what stands out to me. And one of the concepts that he mentioned, which I really loved, it was at the very end of the podcast, so I'm definitely giving you more than maybe I should, or maybe shouldn't I? Well, whatever. In this one, I'll give it to you. He said, go do hard things. And I don't know if there's any better way to encapsulate what it is he's doing on his career, in his journey, trying to set the bar higher for himself every single time he's going out there, whether it's a race or it's with his business or it's his work as a physical therapist. He's setting the bar high for himself, and I think that's important. I don't think it's everything, and I think there's balance, but what better way of saying something like doing hard things for a high performer? I think that's what it comes down to. And there was a lot of other things that Brett shared in terms of how to get started as a runner, talking about nutrition a little bit, not too heavy in that because this is not a nutrition-focused podcast per se. Maybe in the future we'll go more into that. But he really, I think, touched on an important concept, which is how to build momentum. And what I thought was really interesting with Brett was how he started to slowly build into a running routine where he's at the point now, he'll go out and run 15, 20 miles like it's nothing. I mean, most people couldn't fathom running a few miles. And I think it's really interesting to think he talks about when he was in high school, he barely could run 1 mile, or that was a struggle for him. As a hockey player, it's not really necessarily a slow, steady state endurance sport, although you do need endurance. You're giving quick bursts of full out energy. And that's not what he trained. He didn't train endurance for hours at a time without rest like he has to test now as an endurance athlete. And I think it's a concept that applies to any of us, whether we're starting a business, we're educating ourselves and going into a professional discipline or a healthcare discipline. It takes time that has steps that build upon one after another. That kind of ties into one of the concepts before we tease ahead to the next episode. One of the concepts that I wanted to share with everybody that I think is something that I've come back to time and time again in my career creating content here with Beyond Zero, with my book Injured to Elite, and also when I'm coaching and treating as a clinician my patients that are overcoming injuries, trying to get themselves started back towards their health and their wellness. It's this concept of seizing the moment that they're in, because it's easy in my world when I intercept a patient, I meet them where they're at, and a lot of times they're very frustrated. People don't come to me oftentimes in really good states. They come to me in broken states. That's where the name of my book came from, Injured to Elite, helping them evolve for the better. But it's really tough when you're in these moments to find your best self to show up in that moment. In hindsight, whenever we've accomplished anything, we know how important it is, though, for those moments to build upon one another to get that momentum towards whatever it is you're looking to achieve. So I thought it might be helpful if I share one story that really means a lot to me in terms of my own journey. And it's an early one. Now that I'm 38, this is going back to the age of, let me think for a second, I would have been a sophomore in college. So that was when I was probably around the age of 19. We're talking about, math is not my strong suit, but we're talking about close to 20 years ago, right? Close enough to 20 years ago. And it was when I was going from my sophomore fall semester to my spring semester. And it was my first year going away to college. It was in upstate New York in SUNY Albany. I had just transferred from a junior college, and I was getting through my first heartbreak with my first girlfriend. That was a really difficult time in my life. Ask my mother, she will tell you that I was a hot mess. She was worried I wasn't going to graduate high school. I apparently wasn't too worried about that because I almost didn't graduate high school because I was cutting class to go spend time with my ex-girlfriend, my girlfriend at the time. Fast forward, I'm not going to bore you with every little laborious detail of everything that happened, but my first semester, I finally transferred to upstate New York to SUNY Albany, and my life is finally evolving and going to that next step of my life with getting away from the nest. My first girlfriend and I stopped talking. We break up. It was devastating for me, but I found the ability in that moment to find a hobby, actually, that helped me cope and self-soothe, I guess. Now I'd know to call it that, which was building plastic models. That was a pastime that I would do with my father growing up, my absolute hero. If you've heard me speak, you've heard me talk about my father. And I would build these military planes and aircraft carriers, things of that nature. And it just helped me stay focused and I guess avoid the negative emotions and thoughts to some degree. I was working with a psychologist at the time that was, I guess, using a combination of CBT and other things and giving and helping me with goal setting. And my big goal was to transfer to college, to a four-year school, rather, from a junior college. I also had a learning disability growing up. So for me, I had a lot of confidence issues with school, but I never saw myself necessarily as unintelligent. I just didn't think I fit the mold for traditional school. And that started to motivate me, actually, and fuel me. Back to the story, I broke up with my ex-girlfriend that summer, and we went a period of time without speaking. And then lo and behold, I'm in this new setting, upstate New York, a new environment. I'm this Long Island kid. I'm meeting all these transfer students that were living pretty much in my, well, funny story. We called it the pit, actually. It was the bottom floor of this off-campus housing. Any of you that have seen Albany, it's a disgustingly ugly campus. It was actually meant to be in Arizona in the heat. It's just all concrete, really yucky, very depressing in the winter. And there I am with all these transfer students off that campus and probably an even uglier building. And we all bonded. We all decided to join this fraternity. I'm finally having a social life. Probably came at me a little quick. And then all of a sudden, what do? You fall into old habits. As you're just starting to leave the nest, you look in your phone. This is 2004. We're not talking about iPhones. We're still talking about maybe between Motorola StarTax and Sony Ericsson's Nokias, something in that phase. No razors yet. Half of you probably have no idea what I'm even talking about. That's all right. I start falling into this old habit again of reaching out to my ex-girlfriend. It starts out maybe going out to the bars and sending her a text and hearing back from her, which feels really nice. She's back home still. And even though we're exes, we're, I guess, what you'd call friends or whatever you do at 18, 19 years old and you break up. And I start falling back into the pattern of wanting to see her. Eventually, she comes up and visits me, and I feel myself getting into these old habits. Now, it wasn't a healthy relationship by any stretch of the imagination. It was a very unhealthy relationship. And I knew what that meant for me in the past. Like I mentioned, it meant potentially not graduating high school. Not blaming her. It was on me. It was my behaviors. But I had a tough time having balance in my life during that and working towards other goals rather than just my goal to be with her. And there it was coming again. I'm sure a lot of you can identify with something in your life where you are feeling a relapse in a way. It doesn't have to be an addiction. It could be letting yourself go outside of the gym, maybe letting yourself go with your finances, maybe letting yourself go with how you're treating people around you, falling into bad habits. This is what was happening to me in that moment. And because of the experience I had already getting through it once when I was building those models and spending a lot of time with my father there and my closest friends, best friend, Shawnee Dukes, shout out to you, which was really helpful having some close friends and family in my life, even if it was only a few at that time, they meant everything. And I think those are important people to have in your lives when you're facing these tough moments. So more of the story, I come back home for Thanksgiving break. And I see her again, or she visited me. We had a great time. It was most amazing. It felt amazing. I then came back home for Thanksgiving. And then, of course, I saw her. I remember still the last time I saw her in the car. We were hanging out. It was actually a good vibe. But something told me after that moment that if I don't get myself out of this, it's going to feel too good to leave. And I'm just going to be right back where I started. It was really one of those turning point moments where somehow you find enough willpower in yourself to change course. And I was able to. I decided I was going to set these goals for myself at SUNY Albany. I decided I wanted to be pre-med, inspired by my father, my late father now, who died just a few years after that moment. I decided I was going to go play baseball again, which I gave up on in my senior year of high school. And I decided that I was going to become a personal trainer. These were the early days before I knew even much about physical therapy. I started setting these goals for myself, and I remember tangibly they were get in shape, get a personal training certification. At the time, it was an ACE certification, American Council on Exercise, which was the gold standard at the time for a general personal trainer. And it was to do really well in school. I decided I was going to study psychology. I was really pumped up. And these pieces came together for me where I felt like I had something. And I was able to build really, really big momentum at this point in my life, which eventually got me to years and years later getting my doctorate in physical therapy. There were ups and downs during that process, but it really was the start of something big. I became more obsessed, I guess you can say, with the gym and my physique and working out, much in a healthy way at that time. And I became much less focused on my ex-girlfriend, and it kind of faded out, and I was able to overcome that. I was having a conversation with a friend at the gym this week, and the conversation was about something he was struggling with in general in his life. And I talked to him about these moments we have, just like that moment I had in my life, just like that moment I'm sure many of you have in your lives that you're facing. And usually in our lives, not everything is going in the right direction. There might be one element of our lives that we want to be better. What I've realized is in these moments, we have the opportunity to change. But to make huge changes at once, it's really difficult. In hindsight, I could tell you a story like I am and say, hey, it all came together. But the truth is, if I really looked back, retrospectively, there was a series of events that occurred that built upon one after another. I know then it was doing the research into the different programs, the different courses I was going to take, decide how I was going to start working out, starting with workouts that were feasible for me, being able to balance taking these classes, working out, and still being a college student. And that took time for me to really get to that point where, like I said, eventually I went to NYU and got my doctorate in physical therapy and achieved my eventual goal of working in professional sports in the medical field, which we're talking about that moment was 2004. I didn't achieve that big goal of mine until 2015. That's 11 years later. It takes a long time. And of course, a lot of times we avoid doing the work because we know it takes such a long time. But focusing on the moment that we have in front of us is the key. If I thought about the 11 years ahead of me that I had and all the hardships and struggles that I was going to face, losing my father just a few short years later, going through more breakups, going through jobs that burnt me out and challenged me in ways I never expected, and even my own dream becoming a nightmare, working in professional baseball, who knows if I ever would have put my best foot forward. When we're facing these tough times and we want to make changes in our lives, it's important. We know where we want to go, but we don't focus on only that. We focus on the next step ahead of us. Easier said than done, but this is the only way we can be successful there. What does happen, for many of us, I can speak for myself here, is I avoid that pain. For instance, when I fall off the wagon working out, which I've done many times through the last 20 years of ups and downs, it's easy for me to avoid wanting to work out, avoiding that feeling of realization that, wow, I'm really out of shape. This happened recently, went on a run, and that first 5 minutes of the run is really painful. It's really tough to get yourself going and get started again. It's painful because you realize where you're at and where you once were. What used to be a walk in the park now was very effortful. What's funny about that, though, is now you start to remember, okay, well, it was painful that first 5 minutes, a little less painful the next time. And eventually you adapt to it. And that's where the small wins are really, really important. So early on, when I was getting over my ex-girlfriend, one day without talking to her was a win. It was a small win, but it was a win. No, it wasn't me getting my dream job in sports, but it was getting me towards that and reminding myself of what was possible. It helps to build momentum with that attitude. You don't have to have the best attitude right off the gate. Your attitude can slowly build up too. And I think when we're in these hardships, it's extremely important for us to remember these concepts. Remember the small wins, and remember, if we just focus on how far we are from our goal, we're never going to take steps towards them. Now, I'm really excited about next week's episode with CJ Beatty coming on the podcast. CJ is somebody I worked with when I was with the St. Louis Cardinals. He was at the time a coach, and he used to be a player for the the Cardinals, professional baseball player. CJ is also a hip-hop artist with my personal favorite song, Mr. I Don't Bunt. I am not going to try and sing that. I'll try and edit that in here if I can. And CJ is now a motivational speaker. When we talk about underdogs, which I haven't really used that word through this episode, but we know that's the backbone to my mission and my content, I can't think of a better person to mention than CJ when it comes to my own journey, because back in 2018, when I was making the shift and the transformation towards physical therapist to the things I do now, CJ had a conversation with me and he said to me straight up on the phone call, "Dave, you're a speaker." I don't think I knew what that meant until probably the last 3-4 years. He heard it in me, heard it in my voice, and he was right. What's what brings me to the current public speaking group I'm in now, Toastmasters, which I absolutely love. Shout out to South Tampa Toastmasters. And that's something I'm putting into fruition now, becoming the speaker that I dream of being. CJ and I will talk about that and much more, his music. Maybe he'll give us a little fresh beat. I always like having people come on and do that. We've had Steve, my best friend, come on and drop some freestyles back. I think, what was that, episode 95 or 6? I like keeping it fresh. I'm really excited to have all kinds of new guests come on throughout the year that are going to be speaking more to underdogs. For all of you underdogs out there, let's leave you on this episode with this. Whatever moment you're in right now, we all know thinking about the past just leads to feelings at times of depression and hopelessness. And if we live in the future, that just leads to future tripping or anxiety. Being in the moment is key. It's cliche, but it's cliche. That was just corny. But it really is key. If we add up all those little moments, those little wins, that's what's going to help us break that inertia of that initial resistance of getting ourselves started with whatever it is we're working towards. So if you feel like you're David facing Goliath, seize the moment you're in right now and put your best foot forward, or put any foot forward. Just show up. There'll be a lot more coming soon, coming at you. Stay strong. Take care.